There are times when you and I know it's time. It's time. For example, when the button on your pants won't button anymore, you know what? It's time for what? Bigger pants, yeah. I was thinking a diet, but you know, yeah, bigger pants, that works too. It's time. When you've had an assignment due for 3 weeks and now this is the final day, it's 9 o'clock at night and tomorrow's the deadline, you know it's time for what? Time for some caffeinated inspiration, right? Get that paper done. You know it's time. So when it's too cold to go outside and start your or fill your gas tank up, but that little pump icon, you know, on the gas gauge, it's flashing at you, you know what? It's time. What's it time for? Time to go south. There you go. Time to fill up the tank. You and I, we just know when it's time, don't we? And we know when it's the right time to do the right thing. And I believe that God gives us that it's the time, the right time conviction for us to listen to him when it's time to listen. And that conviction probably doesn't come through pop pants, but, you know, sometimes God speaks in mysterious ways. It probably doesn't come through a late paper assignment, although God may be trying to prompt and tell you something. It may not come through a flashing orange light on the dashboard, but we have this sense. We seem to know when the Holy Spirit is telling us, it's time. It's time. So I believe that when God is prompting us, We get that, he gets our attention through a whisper, maybe through a thought in our mind, and we know it's time, but it's time for what? You know, it's time to step into our God-given purpose. It's time to step up. It's time to step out into what God wants us to do through, what God wants to do through you and through me, and I believe through his church. It's time. Are you feeling that today? Are you feeling it's time? You know, you're pretty sure that God is letting you know that he has a call on your life, that you're ready. You feel you're ready to step out. You feel there's a God-given purpose. You know that you are here, even today, for such a time as this. You know it's time. If that's you, then I'm glad you're here today, because I think this message is going to encourage you to step out in his time. And I hope it encourages you to go for it. That when God prompts you that it's time, that you go for it, you step out and you step into God's call. Maybe you don't have that conviction today. Maybe you're feeling that, you know, it doesn't seem like it's time. It doesn't seem like this is the time to shift my priorities or change what I'm doing. You know, okay, maybe. And I want to let you know, understand, if you're a farmer and you're feeling that, I don't know, Tim, I think that my calling is out in the field, that's right. That's your time. It's your time to get the harvest in. It's your time to keep working strong. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Go out into the harvest field to get the crops in. That's time, right? But I'm talking in that sense of, is God calling you to his purpose and mission? You know, for some of us, maybe other things seem to take precedence in our time. We don't necessarily sense God's purpose or calling in that way that others talk about. We don't recognize that it's our season for a spiritual harvest. I get that. I really do. You know, sometimes it's not really that clear. It really isn't. But it is true that you and I only have the time God has given us. We only have a few short years on this earth. And I want you to be confident that on that last day when you stand before the Lord, that from this time forward, from this day forward, you have used the time God has given you to fulfill God's purpose in your life. I know that you don't want to waste your life. I don't want to waste my life. And so we ask ourselves today, are we sure God's not calling us out for this time? Because we find out in this story of David that he misses out on some pretty big blessings because he waited instead of moving ahead in God's time. So if you're unsure of God's timing in your life, and, and that is probably true for all of us at some point, let me encourage you with the words of the Apostle Paul. He writes this letter to a really busy church in Corinth. He says, as God's co-workers, so as those together in the gospel, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, God says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time. Say that with me. Now is the time of God's favor. Say it again. Now is the day of salvation. It is time. Now is the time. So today we're picking up the Bible story, and we're beginning the Immersed Bible Reading Series. I don't have my book. So the Immersed Bibles, they're in the back over here. We're beginning this series in Chronicles for this segment. If you haven't been with us through the Immersed series, last spring was the last time we engaged this 8-week reading series. And it's really great because it gives regular people like me an opportunity to read the Bible in a way that I can get it. It's a way that allows us to read easily through the scriptures. It takes out all the numbers and the notes and all that weird stuff and just let us read it as it was intentionally written, as it wasn't originally written. And as we read through it, we begin to understand in a translation that we can get. Not all the questions are answered, but we begin to get it. And if you haven't done any reading in the Immersed series, then this is a great time to start. We're on the fifth of six segments, and this fifth segment actually recaps some of what we have already learned through the history of Israel. So a great place to begin as we lead up over the next 8 weeks to Christmas, because this part of the Bible in Chronicles is talking about the fulfillment of the Messiah. And so as we read through the Old Testament people and their hope for what's to come, they look ahead to the Messiah. And we know that at Christmas, we celebrate his birth, the birth of Jesus. So I invite you to grab one of those Bibles out there and engage reading over the next 8 weeks. We read big and we read together, and invite you to join into a book club as well as we read and answer our questions. I do want to, although, give you a warning. I'm moving ahead to that little picture up there of the genealogies. I want to give you a warning. This book starts with a whole bunch of genealogies, a whole bunch of lists of people of names that I can't pronounce. So I want to tell you, if you're not into that kind of thing, if you're not into lists and genealogies, then don't get hung up in it. I'm going to give you permission to just breeze through the pages and move on, okay, to week two. Because I don't want you to stop. There's some great stuff in this book, but we can get hung up there. If you are into that kind of stuff, if you are into the genealogies, you can trace actually the line of David through all of this. All the main characters of the Bible are listed here as it builds up and looking ahead to the Messiah, and also looking ahead to the priestly line, because God is greatly concerned with the proper sacrifice as we lead up to the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus. So that's my warning to you. Go ahead and breeze through it if you need to, but keep reading. Today we're going to look in 1 Chronicles 13. It's on page 26 of the Reading Bible. And here we're going to find out that it is time. We're about to learn from King David that even though it might be the right time, we need to be sure that we're proceeding in the right way. If it's your time, and hear me on this, I do believe that God is calling us to a time such as this, to this time, our time. If it's your time, beware of the dangers of moving forward in the wrong way. For David, it was the right time, but the wrong way. So King David, he was sure that he was acting on God's behalf. The timing was right, but it turned out not to be the way he thought. So he found himself overcome with anger and fear because he couldn't complete what he set out to do. He missed his timing. Let's see what we learn from David so that we don't miss our time. So from the chapter 13, the first three verses, it says, David consulted with all his officials, including the generals and captains of the army. Then he addressed the entire assembly of Israel as follows. If you approve, and if it is the Lord's will, or the will of the Lord our God. Let us send messages to all the Israelites throughout the land, including the priests and Levites in their towns and pasture lands. Let us invite them to come and join us. Read that with me. It is time to bring back the ark of our God, for we neglected it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to this, for the people could see. Say that with me. It was the right thing to do. So we know it's the right time, right? And it's the right thing to do. David knew it, and all the people around him, they knew it. This was the time. This is what they needed to do. So they're going to bring the Ark of the Covenant of God back into Jerusalem, back into the hands of God's people. Now, the Ark is a box, right? And for all intents and purposes, it's a box that God lives above. We know that's not necessarily true, that God lives in the whole earth, but the Ark of the Covenant is this box that has all the sacred relics in there, and it represents to Israel God's presence with his people. As they wandered in the desert, God was present with the Ark of the Covenant. He presided over the mercy seat, they called it. And so God's covenant with his people is represented in this Ark. But the Ark was lost under the reign of King Saul, and it's been neglected through the hands of the enemies. And now David is sure that it is time. It is time now to bring the Ark back to his people to represent God's presence with them and begin the right worship of God. So it is time, it is right. So this is a huge deal. David gets all his warriors, he gets all the people of Israel, representatives from every tribe, and they all come together to go get the Ark of the Covenant. So David is, he's going all out for this, right? He's going all out and he's going to get a new cart. So he's not about to haul God around in a battered old scruffy cart. So that'd be like driving God around in a beat up pickup truck with mud all over the tires, right? So that's not good enough for God. So David goes out and he gets the equivalent of a brand new Cadillac Escalade cart. So he can haul God around in style, right? With the rims and all that. Really cool. And so I can see him at the dealership. You know, he's asking, you know, does this cart have independent two-wheel suspension? Because that's important. What about the seats? I want to smell that new Lebanon leather with camel stitching in it. You know, that really good stuff. You know, I want the model with the white cedar planking so everybody can see. You know, and what's under the hood? I need at least two ox on this one, and preferably turbocharged. You know, I don't want one lagging behind the other one. So two good ox. This has to be perfect for God, right? You get the picture, right? He's doing everything just right for God. David wants everyone to know that God deserves the best, and David is going to make it that way. God's worth it. And it seems right, doesn't it? It seems like God is worth all that. Everyone goes nuts in celebrating and worshiping. We read that in chapter 7. It says, Uzzah and Ahio were guiding the cart. How would you like those names, Uzzah and Ahio? Hey, Uzzah. Yes, Ahio. David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might. So they're singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, trumpets. This is a big deal, right? This is a big, big, big worship band. But when they arrive at the threshing floor of Nacon, the ox stumbled. You know, those turbocharged ox, they're just not what they used to be. So the ox, he stumbles, and the cart slips. And Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark. And then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him dead because he had laid his hand on the ark. So Uzzah died there in the presence of God. We think, whoa, what just happened? This was a great celebration. Everything was going great, and all of a sudden, boom, Uzzah's dead. God killed him. Now, this is a setback. This is bad. Something went terribly wrong. And how does David respond? It says David was angry because the Lord's anger burst out against Uzzah. And as we read this, we think, well, David's angry with God, right? Because God killed Uzzah as they were trying to do this right thing at the right time. But if we dig a little deeper into this passage, we realize that David's not angry at God. He's angry with himself. He's angry because he knows he messed up. In the law of Moses, it's clear that what will happen if someone touches the Ark of the Covenant. In Numbers chapter 4 in the book of the law, it says, but they must not touch the holy things, or, what does it say? They will die. They will die. And so Uzzah touched it, and he died. Not only they will die, but only certain people are supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant. David made a big mistake. He knows it. Now he's mad at himself, and he's afraid. It says, David was now afraid of God, and he asked, how can I bring the Ark of God back into my care? David realized it's the right time, but the wrong way. And now, if he stays near the Ark, he's afraid he's going to die. He's afraid that he's going to get killed as well. It's too dangerous. We can't bring it in. Now is not the right time. Now it's not the right thing, David is thinking in his mind. He's too stunned and too afraid to move ahead with God's purpose. And I get it. I really do. You know, there are times when we get so sure that we're doing the right thing at the right time, and then we find ourselves in the midst of a mess. We get discouraged when things don't work out. We get mad. We get mad at people around us. We get mad at ourselves because we know we messed up. But we tend then to blame God, right? It's God's fault. I was trying to do the right thing. It's God's fault. Or it's someone else's fault. But we're the ones who messed up. And the worst outcome of this is we get afraid. We get paralyzed, and we're no longer sure that we even want to move ahead with what God has called us to. I believe God has called each one of us to something huge, something great and amazing, but we can't be careless with what God has given us. You know, even when we have the green light to go ahead, we have to do it God's way. I'll say that again. Even when we have the green light to go ahead, we have to do it God's way. If we don't, we're going to miss out on some pretty great blessings. So David froze up in fear, and he leaves the Ark of the Covenant at the household of Obed-Edom. And he misses out on some amazing blessings over the next 3 months that fall passed on now to Obed-Edom. All of his household begins to prosper, the Bible says. So some of you may feel like David this morning. You've been called out, you stepped out, you thought you were doing what you thought was right, and you met with some pretty maddening outcomes, some pretty frustrating experiences. Maybe in your church, maybe in your household, maybe in your community or job or life. Sometimes maybe frightening results. Maybe your heart's even been broken. And you're left like David, gun-shy, angry, sad, afraid, wondering if you dare risk another try. Is it worth it? If that's you, I want to encourage you with the rest of the David story. It is still time. So in the months that followed, God really did some work in David's heart and around him, and David realized that he is called to be king. He does have this divine anointing, and he's confident once again that it is his time. So he realizes the mistakes he made, and now he begins to make preparations to do it God's way, to follow God's instructions for moving the ark. So he's going to do it the right time now, the right way. So we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that David now built several buildings for himself in the city of David. He also prepared a place for the ark of God and set up a special tent for it. And then he commanded, no one except the Levites may carry the ark of God. The Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God. So this time, no longer an Escalade cart to haul God around. No, they're going to do it God's way, which means that the Levites are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant on foot with poles so they don't touch the Ark. And now Israel gathers around David and all the men and the people. They gather with great joy. There's laughing, there's dancing, there's celebration as David brings the ark in and places it in the tent prepared for the ark. So David's time to do what is right has now been completed. And it results in blessing. It results in worship. It results in praise to God as the whole nation receives provision from David. So now David is blessed by God to be a blessing to others. Maybe some of you today still need to hear that it is still your time. Even though you've faced difficulties and obstacles, even though you might feel angry or frightened, it is your time. This is still your time. It's time to join in to the spiritual harvest that God has, to fulfill that call on your life, that deep call that you know just right here. As a follower of Jesus, it's your time to take hold now and to be bold, to step out. It's time to enjoy God's favor and God's blessing. It's your time to join into this incredible mission that God has given us to make followers who make followers of Jesus in our time. This isn't something that'll happen far in the future. This isn't something we did in the past. It's now, right here, right now, in your time and in my time. God has called us. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. That hasn't changed since Jesus wrote those words. You and I were called out to be those workers in the harvest field. We're called to step into those places that break our heart and make a difference. We're called to step into the lives of those who don't yet know Jesus so they can find forgiveness and healing and new life in Him. We're called to make a difference. We're called to believe. We're called to faith. You and I are called in this time to be those who worship God and let others know that God is worthy of our praise. You're called. You're gifted by God uniquely. You're equipped and anointed and sent to tell others the good news. It is your time. And so like the people around David, you and I, we know it's the right thing to do. It's time to share the good news and all the amazing ways that God has equipped us as a church to share it. And here's why. That others may know Jesus. That others may know the joy of eternal life. And I think we have unprecedented opportunity right now. Unprecedented, I really do believe, like never before in this time. And I want to invite you to invite someone to worship. Pack the house here on Sunday mornings so that others can worship God with you, that they can see and hear the good news of the gospel. And I invite you to read and dig into the Immersed Bible. Dig in and ask questions and be part of that. I invite you to save the date for Alpha in January on the 20th. God does amazing things in Alpha. It is one of the greatest experiences we have in sharing the good news together. So save the date. Mark it off. And fill the house at Wheaton High School on November 20th at 7 o'clock in the evening as there's going to be a great concert worship and the gospel is going to be presented. And I really believe that youth and families and adults are going to come to know Jesus at that event, that is going to be the turning point in the lives of our own people in this community. I really do. I believe it. Do you believe it? Now is our time. This is the time. We don't want to miss it. I mean, I'm seeing a great move of God. And there'll be celebration with all our might as we see God at work, as God brings new life. So I believe, and I hope, that that's the outcome. It's time. It is time. It is your time. Time to step out. Don't miss the blessing of God.